booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Just because it's a holiday doesn't mean you get away from us. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Happy Thanksgiving, Frank. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But first of all, we have traffic on the 7s with Steve Michaels and for Joe Nolan coming up. Also, weather on the 7s. But first, here are the big stories making headlines this morning.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
Two NYPD officers shot during a gun battle in the Bronx. It happened around 8 p.m. in the area around East 187th Street and Beaumont Avenue. That's in the Belmont section. Officers responding to a 911 call about a man with a gun. They arrived on the scene. The suspect was reportedly sitting on his doorstep and open fire. One of the officers was shot in the arm twice. She is going to be okay. The other was hit in the underarm. It exited out of the left side of his chest. Police returned fire, hitting the suspect. Here is Commissioner Dermot Shea.
We expect them to make a recovery. They're in stable condition. They're in good spirits here.
Shea would not ID the suspect, but he did say that he's a career criminal with too many arrests still on the streets of New York City. That's his quote. And by the way, the shooting was captured on body camera video.
Guilty, all. The jury in the trial of the three men accused of murdering a black jogger found guilty on a slew of charges, including felony murder.
And let the word go forth all over the world. Yes. That a jury of 11 whites and one black in the deep south stood up in the courtroom and said that black lives do matter.
That is, of course, the Reverend Al Sharpton. Ahmaud Arbery's father, Marcus, told reporters afterwards that justice has indeed been served.
I wouldn't want to see no daddy watch the kid get lynched and shot down like that.
That's right, Mom.
So it's all our problem. It's all our problem. So, hey, let's keep fighting. Let's keep doing it and making this place a better place for all human beings.
Gunman Travis McMichael, his father Gregory, and neighbor William Bryan, each now potentially facing life in prison.
Senator Joe Manchin says President Biden needs to get the Keystone Pipeline back going as the oil squeeze continues to squeeze your wallet. The Biden administration announcing Tuesday it's releasing 50 million barrels of oil out of its reserve supply. But Manchin says that is not enough. It's a quick fix and more needs to be done. The pipeline reportedly would have provided our country with up to 900,000 barrels of oil per day from Canada.
Who's behind the recent smash-and-grab robberies on the West Coast? Well, police say they've nabbed at least a few. San Francisco District Attorney Kesib Udine announcing felony charges for 9 suspects in that Louis Vuitton robbery in the city's pricey Union Square neighborhood. Meantime, security experts are putting at least some of the blame on organized crime syndicates. They say the groups pay teens between $500 and $1,000 to rip off luxury items at certain stores. And officials say they expect the state to get even worse over the holiday season. Bad news, though, for Best Buy CEO Corey Barry, who says she's concerned employees could start quitting for fear of being attacked. Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Chicago have all experienced a huge jump in these types of crimes. The governor in California, Gavin Newsom, has vowed to crack down on the retail gangs. We'll have a lot more for you on this throughout the hour.
And the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is just a few hours away. Yesterday, vaccinated folks got to check out the annual inflation event near 72nd and Columbus. And of course, we're talking balloons, not the rising prices. Parade producer Will Koss is happy to be back.
It's an optimistic moment for us, and we're really excited to bring it to the streets of New York and celebrate with our fellow New Yorkers and everyone across the country.
This year's parade features 15 giant character balloons, 28 floats, 36 inflatables, 800 clowns. Oh, I don't like clowns. 10 marching bands, 9 performance groups, and performances from everybody from Kristen Chenoweth and Kelly Rowland to Carrie Underwood. Of course, Santa Claus will pop down from the North Pole for a quick hello, too. And there are some new balloons this year. I don't have any idea what these are. Ada twist scientist and Baby Yoda.
Well, I know Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda is very popular. He's from The Mandalorian.
Oh, okay. Well, if you notice something missing this year, by the way, kids under 12 are not going to be allowed to take part in the parade because of COVID restrictions, and everybody has to wear masks.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of...
5:07, let's get a look at the traffic and transit on what is expected to be a busy travel day with Steve Michaels. Good morning, Steve. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi, Steve.
Everyone, happy Thanksgiving to you. It's so far, it's pretty light out there right now. The Hudson River crossing is pretty much clear. No problems to report on the Turnpike or the Parkway just yet. Got a little minor accident on the Garden State Parkway. This is going to be south right around Hillside at exit 143. Cross Bronx, FDR, West Side Highway, Harlem River Drive, all good. Looking pretty decent on Long Island. A minor crash on Wantagh Avenue. Heading south at Park Avenue. East End roads look to be in pretty good shape. Rockland, Westchester County is clear. Sponsored by UPSjobs.com. UPS is hiring seasonal and part-time warehouse workers, personal vehicle drivers, and driver's helpers near you, offering up to $23.50 per hour, and some roles are eligible for weekly bonuses. Apply now at UPSjobs.com/shift. I'm Steve Michaels, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, and we will check back with you in a little bit. So let's talk about the weather. As I told you yesterday, it is going to be chilly this morning if you're heading out to the parade, especially if you're going to be heading out in these early hours trying to get a great space there. I would definitely suggest bundling up because we're looking at temperatures in the low 40s, probably upper 30s at this point if you're heading out. But by the mid-morning, it starts to get sunny. We'll have some clouds in there as well. We're going to get up to a high of 54 degrees today, so it'd be pretty nice, actually. Tonight, the rain shower is coming in. They will evolve, as the forecasters are telling me, into a more steady rain overnight. And on Friday, we should see some light rain early in the morning, and then that will be followed by a mix of sun and clouds in the afternoon with a high of 47. Saturday, still looking good, going to be 42 degrees and lots of sun. Sunday, I don't see any sun, but I do see clouds and a high of 43 degrees. And the next week looks pretty decent. We look like we're going to be in the mid-40s. It's pretty normal for this time of year. Currently, right now in the city, if you're heading out to the parade, it's 39 degrees in Manhattan.
Eric Adams isn't wasting any time setting forth his agenda. New York City's mayor-elect promising yesterday that his judicial appointments will be more amenable to challenging bail reform laws. Talking to the ladies of The View on ABC, he didn't hold back.
Sure that the judges, now as the mayor, I appoint criminal court judges,
okay.
And I'm going to be extremely clear. If you don't understand that my city must be safe,
mm-hmm.
and you can't get caught up in the politics of the city,
mm-hmm.
but you must make sure that those who are posing imminent threats to our city,
mm-hmm.
they are not going to be placed back on my streets and back into my community.
Of course, the problem that mm-hmm. Eric Adams could run into is even the toughest judges still have to enforce the law and interpret the law the way it's written. And right now, the bail reform law is the law.
We will continue to watch that for you, of course. Meantime, a big boost for New York's governor. The leaders of two high-powered police unions say that they are putting their support and their money behind Governor Kathy Hochul in the Democratic upcoming primary. The New York Post reporting the heads of New York Troopers PBA and the State Police Investigators Union are not happy with Attorney General Letitia James, particularly, they say, when it comes to handling cases involving their own employees.
And that is something that is certainly going to be interesting to watch as that primary season unfolds. And I expect we'll hear an announcement from more candidates running for governor after the Thanksgiving holiday. Americans are traveling for their turkey, and many of you probably witnessed that for yourselves yesterday. The tri-state's airport saw the biggest wave of travelers since before the pandemic. In fact, air travel overall is only down about 10% this Thanksgiving compared to 2019. But these folks say if numbers are down, they don't see it.
I was surprised how clear the lines are for baggage.
Experts say get to the airport 2 hours ahead of time. That's domestically. If you're traveling internationally, allow 3 hours, maybe even a bit more. to be extra safe. Meantime, the Port Authority of New York or New Jersey say that roughly 3.5 million cars and trucks will head over the bridges and tunnels over the next several days. The good news, all lane closures for non-emergency construction at Port Authority crossings are suspended through 5 a.m. on Monday.
Well, that's very nice of them. My brother and his family came in last night. My mom was taking the train, the LARRR, to meet them, and it was chaotic. Really, really crazy. Definitely give yourself lots of time. And remember that those trains, the air trains, they'll be packed too. All right, we have a warning from one of the country's top military leaders. General Frank McKenzie claims Iran is very close to producing enough material for a nuclear weapon. In an interview with Time magazine, the head of U.S. Central Command added that he doesn't think the theocracy has decided at this point whether to actually build a nuke. Meantime, International Atomic Energy Association officials say that they are being given the runaround by Iranian officials, and soon they may not be able to, quote, guarantee continuity of knowledge. So they may not be able to tell us what's actually happening in that program. The warnings come as the Biden administration makes efforts to rejoin a 2015 deal that former President Trump pulled us out of that would ease sanctions on Iran as long as they limited their nuclear program.
A new Marist poll showing that President Biden is to blame for just about everything Americans are worried about, inflation and everything else. They are blaming President Biden. That's the message from this Marist poll, echoing most other recent surveys. The president's approval rating is down to 42%. That's the lowest since he's taken office. The number one concern among voters, inflation, coming in at 39%. Wages, labor shortages, housing, unemployment, and gas prices all follow.
And just days after a man plowed through a group of holiday revelers, killing six people and injuring dozens more, the White House is reaffirming the president's call to end cash bail. Daryl Brooks, as you know, was out on $1,000 bail. He had tried to run over his ex-girlfriend out there in Wisconsin when he floored his SUV through the Waukesha, Wisconsin holiday parade, actually just a few weeks later. This happened on Sunday. The news from the Biden camp renewed calls to take another look at bail reform. Still, the Daily Mail reporting Wednesday, a White House official is defending the policy to end cash bail, saying, quote, whether you get bail should be based on the threat you pose and not how much money you have in your bank account.
President Biden's choice for the nation's top bank watchdog might be in jeopardy. Five Democratic senators say they're not fans of Sawley Omarova's aggressive approach when it comes to regulating the banking sector. Senate Banking Committee members John Tester, Mark Warner, and Kristen Sinema, along with Democratic senators John Hickenlooper and Mark Kelly, all reportedly declaring their opposition to Omarova's appointment to the Office of Comptroller of the Currency. A White House official, meantime, telling Axios the president is still behind her.
I heard you earlier today on the other side of midnight say to a caller that you do not like hockey. You're not a fan of hockey. How is this possible?
I don't watch it. I'm a baseball person. I like football. It's pretty much it.
Have you been to a hockey game? I'm sure you have.
I have. It's fun.
I find it so exciting. It's constant just violence and craziness.
Well, but the violence in boxing.
Well, I don't like the violence, really, but it's incredible what they do. I mean, the technique.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all right. To each his own.
Exactly.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Is there a reason that you brought up hockey?
Yeah, because you're going to do sports.
Oh! Okay.
I was trying to find a segue.
I am going to try and give you as little hockey talk as possible. But yes, there is a lot of sports news. Obviously, today is a big football day. We are going to see the Cowboys in action against the Lions today. We're going to see The Cowboys and Lions are both playing today. We are going to see the Cowboys in action against the Raiders at 4:30, the Bears against the Lions at 12:30, and the Bills against the Saints tonight at 8:20. Giants rookie receiver Kadarius Toney is finding himself back on the injury report. After leaving Monday's game in the fourth quarter with a quad injury, Toney did not attend yesterday's practice. New York also placed special teamer Nate Ebner on the injured reserve and signed tight end Chris Myarak to the 53-man roster. The Giants host the Eagles on Sunday. Robert Saleh is defending his team's decision to trade for Joe Flacco, despite the quarterback not being vaccinated. Flacco and Mike White will miss this week's game for the Jets against the Houston Texans after landing on the COVID reserve list on Tuesday. Zach Wilson returned to practice yesterday without feeling any limitations in his right knee. Mets owner Steve Cohen is once again airing his grievances on Twitter. After Steven Matz, former New York Met pitcher, agreed to sign with the St. Louis Cardinals, Cohen tweeted that he's never seen such unprofessional behavior exhibited by a player's agent. The Mets were reportedly willing to match Matz's four-year, $44 million deal from the Cardinals. The Mets also made their first signing of the Billy Epler era with the addition of outfielder Nick Plummer. New York also announced that right-handed reliever Antonio Santos was claimed off waivers from the Rockies. The Nets continued to assert their dominance in the Eastern Conference after collecting a 123-104 victory over the Celtics in Boston. And after taking down a Lakers team with the help of LeBron James, the Knicks will be looking for a second straight victory tomorrow night. The Knicks have won three of their last five. The Devils picked up a point for a second straight game, but were unable to come away with the win after falling to the Minnesota Wild 3-2 in a shootout. The Rangers handed the Islanders a seventh consecutive loss after beating them 4-1 in Elmont. 5:17, let's get a look at traffic and transit on the sevens with Steve Michaels. Hey, Steve.
Hey, thanks very much, Frank. Good morning, everyone. And if you're out there on the roads this morning and the Hudson River crossings are in the morning travel plans, you are in the clear. We had a little crash over by the Holland Tunnel inbound side right into the tolls. That is taken care of. Accident also cleared on Garden State Parkway heading south at 143A in Hillside. That is out of your way. Traffic is quiet on FDR and the West Side Highway as well as the Harlem River Drive. Clear on Long Island with the exception of an accident on Wantagh Avenue south at Park Avenue. But East End roads look pretty good. And, of course, the Thanksgiving Day Parade steps off at 9 this morning and 6th Avenue is closed between 59th and 34th. I'm Steve Michaels. Michaels, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you very much, Steve. And if you are heading out to the parade today, especially if you're heading out right now, bundle up because it's going to be very chilly this morning. We're in the 30s, the high 30s, but still in a few hours, it's still going to be in the low 40s. We will get up to 54 degrees today with sunshine and a mix of clouds. And tonight we should start seeing some rain showers come in, probably not too early, probably, I would say probably before midnight, but then the rain turns steady overnight. That leads into a rainy morning tomorrow early. We'll have a mix of sun and clouds, though, in the afternoon on Friday with a high of 47 degrees. Saturday, nice and sunny, but 42 degrees, very chilly. And Sunday's looking okay, 43 degrees, cloudy skies, but looks like we may have a little bit of rain. We may have some snow. Wet snow on Sunday night, but we'll keep you abreast of this. In the meantime, the current temperature right now in New York City is 39 degrees. There's a new poll out, Frank, and it is good for Biden's transportation secretary. Not for him. Pete Buttigieg says that he is not considering a future White House run, but the poll suggests he might want to. The latest Politico Morning Consult survey has him 6 points higher than Biden when it comes to favorability, 12 points higher than Harris. The 39-year-old also has the highest favorability and name recognition among the current cabinet. The news coming amid rumors of a rift between the president and vice president. There is some good news for the president, though. Remember, he had a polyp removed last week from his colon. Well, apparently the news is that it was benign. It was slow growing, but potentially precancerous. But it requires no further action, according to his doctor.
Let me tell you what's happening on Wall Street. The Thanksgiving holiday arrived on Wall Street. Investors enjoying a day off today, but they had a lot of economic data to digest during yesterday's session. That included first-time jobless claims hitting their lowest level in more than 50 years. It was also revealed that the economy grew by 2.1% between July and September. That led to a mixed day on Wall Street. The closing bell, the Dow fell 9 points, the S&P 500 rose 10, and the NASDAQ finished with a gain of 70 points. Juliet.
Thank you very much, sir. Subpoena? No problem. Former President Donald Trump has reportedly given his blessing to former NYPD Commissioner Bernard Kerik to testify in front of the January 6th committee that is investigating the Capitol attack. In a statement, Trump claimed Carrick will show up armed with a, quote, massive trove of evidence of voter fraud. Carrick, among a group of six witnesses who were subpoenaed earlier this month, including Trump spokesman Jason Miller and ex-National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
You know, actually, this is quite a bit of personal news that my wife has informed me that she thinks her water has broken.
Oh, my.
So I am going to leave the rest of the hour to you.
Wow.
And I am going to take her to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Where hopefully we will have a healthy child
Please go today on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Sorry to leave you in the lurch.
No, you're not leaving me in the lurch.
I'll call you with updates.
Please do. Congratulations. I'm on Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving, right?
That's amazing.
Thank you.
All right. Go,
we'll
go, go.
Later.
Love
bye-bye.
You, Frank.
Happy Thanksgiving. Love you, too.
You, too. Best of good luck.
Thank you. I'll meet you. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. Well, that just was pretty intense. Oh, wow. All right. That just put me in the best mood, I have to say. I'm so excited.
That's
to
awesome.
Frank.
Thank you.
My Lord.
We're excited, too. Thank you.
All right. So let's get on to some other news. The whole place is freaking out right now. Let's get on to some other news. Couldn't have better news today. There is some good news, though, for the Trump team. The New York Post reporting the Trump Organization's CEO, Matthew Calamari, will not be indicted in the Manhattan DA's probe of the president's company. This is according to Calamari's lawyer. So things are going well for the Trump team. Bye, Frank. All right. It is 5:22 right now. We do have some other news to get to, some international news. And it is a bit alarming out of Africa. A new COVID super strain has been found in three separate countries. The infection numbers are still pretty small, but experts say the Botswana variant is quite unusual. They say it has an extremely high number of mutations, an unusually high number of mutations. And doctors say that they are concerned because the profile of these mutations suggests that this is not good news, that they may be able to dodge antibodies. So you know what that means. That means that vaccines may not work, or at least may not be as effective as they have been with other variants. So far, only 10 cases have been spotted in South Africa, Botswana, and Hong Kong, hence the Botswana variant. The person in Hong Kong, by the way, had previously traveled to South Africa. So they have been identified, obviously. And we will get to more stories about what's happening with COVID actually right now, because I want to tell you a little bit about a vaccine mandate that is working. That is at least according to the Biden administration's report on each government agency's vaccination status. So basically, it's a report that breaks down what every department and agency looks like as far as vaccinations. Of the 3.5 million federal employees, nearly 97% have had their shots or they have been deemed exempt from the rule. The highest number is the Agency for International Development, which kind of makes sense. I mean, international travel, I guess. 97.8% of its workforce has been vaccinated. The lowest number would be the Department of Agriculture at 86.1%. So that's interesting. Meantime, the federal officials insist the mandate had absolutely, well, little to no effect, they say, on travel, law enforcement, or intelligence gathering. That's questionable, though, because the news comes a day after the TSA reported more than 4,000 people were going to be out this week because they still hadn't complied with the federal mandate. I haven't spoken with my mom and my brother and all these people who have been traveling, but I do know that it was chaotic yesterday. I don't know what the airports were like. I'll try to find out a little bit later on. And meantime, we do have some good news when it comes to surviving COVID. There's a new study out and found cancer patients with COVID were twice as likely to die during the first wave of the pandemic compared to early 2021. Experts say the odds that have improved are probably due to the fact that we're getting earlier diagnoses because we're doing more testing and we have better hospital care. All right. This is a funny one. This is definitely one for the Thanksgiving books. It's definitely not something you will probably see on the New York City tourism website. A Bronx woman going viral on TikTok for some, I guess you could say, some sage advice to strap hangers.
I got my own train, and this is what I do. I wait for the train like this, and until the train don't come, I stay right here.
So that's Wanda Vella. If it was a little hard to hear her because she was in the subway, she puts a bike chain around her waist and she hooks it to a platform pole. And voila, She says nobody's pushing her onto the tracks. She says she unlocks it only when the train is there.
That's it. And I'm going on the train. Boom.
That's it. Then I'm going on the train. Boom. I like the taser route myself. I find that quite effective.
I like the boom.
The boom. I like the boom, too. We also have some new details emerging from the probe looking into former Governor Andrew Cuomo, specifically that $5 million-plus book deal that he snagged while he was in office. You remember this one. The New York Post reporting officials who worked nonstop, endless hours, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day in some cases, to try to control COVID were incensed when they found out that the ex-governor, well, who was governor at that time, had written the self-congratulatory tome, American Crisis, Leadership Lessons for the COVID-19 Pandemic. One source reportedly telling the paper that they were shocked to hear that he was making lucrative book deals and wheeling and dealing while they were doing all the work, but he was taking all the credit for it. And we do have some sad news to report out of the New York political world. Abe Schumer, the father of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, has passed away. We're going to tell you about that momentarily. But first, let's head over to Traffic on the Sevens with Steve Michaels. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning. Thanks very much. I'm so excited for Frank. I'm so happy.
I know.
For him.
How crazy
great,
is this?
Great news on Thanksgiving morning.
I know. I love it. I love
wow,
it. I'm happy
how
I
cool
could be
that,
here to
right?
see his face. He
yeah.
looked like he was in a sheer panic.
I'll bet. Wait, listen, babies, don't wait.
Yeah, exactly.
And the traffic is actually pretty good out there this morning. We're off to a good start at all of the bridge and tunnel crossings from the Tappan Zee to the Holland. Everything is pretty quiet on FDR and the West Side Highway. We're looking good in New Jersey on the Turnpike, the Parkway, 287, 78 are all clear. We do have, of course, the big Thanksgiving Day parade, which has got 6th Avenue closed from Columbus Circle right down to 34th Street. And on Long Island, roads are in good shape. And this report, sponsored by Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield and Heart of America are helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more at empireblue.com/NYLiberty. Empire Blue Cross and Blue Shield is the trade name of Empire Health Choice HMO Incorporated and Empire Health Choice Assurance Incorporated. I'm Steve Michaels, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thanks, Steve. And if you didn't know what Steve was referring to, Frank Morano just left the studio and left the building because he got a text from his wife saying that she believes that her water broke. They were expecting the baby to come on December 6th, so, you know, we're right around that time. So he's heading off, and we wish him all the best. We love Frank, and we love Rachel. So excited about this. All right, just do a quick weather right now for you from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. If you're heading out to the parade, you're going to have sunshine and clouds later on, but right now it's very, very chilly. It's in the upper 30s. It'll be low 40s in a couple hours, so it's still going to be quite chilly. Definitely bundle up. Tonight, we're going to see some rain showers developing early, and those will turn into kind of a more steady rain overnight. That will continue through early tomorrow morning. And finally, on Friday, it'll clear up, and we'll have a nice mix of sun and clouds in the afternoon with a high of 47. On Saturday, lots of sun and 42. Sunday's looking okay, cloudy, but 43 degrees, nothing too crazy. There are rumors going around the forecast community that there may be a possibility of a little bit of wet snow Sunday night, but we're still a few days away. It depends on if a clipper comes in. We'll see about that in the next day or two. But in the meantime, the temperature right now in New York City is 39 degrees. We will be right back with more of the early news.
A name you know who's in the know.
Listen, I've been around since Lincoln. I knew everybody.
The diva of dirty laundry. She's the queen of gossip.
I don't like the word gossip because it's pejorative. It doesn't have to be nasty and biting. It should be chatty. It should be funny.
Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m., Cindy Adams brings her talents to 77 WABC. How do you feel about that, Cindy?
Why am I giving you information? You're supposed to give me something.
The Cindy Adams Show on 77 WABC. Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. Frank Morano is not with us because he just got a message from his wife, a text from his wife that she believes her water broke. So he raced out of the studio and is heading home to Staten Island. And I'm sure he's listening right now. We love you, Frank, and we're very excited for you. Please stay in touch with us. That is the headline today, I got to tell you. But in the meantime, we have traffic with Steve Michaels. and weather coming up on the sevens. But first, here are the big stories making headlines this morning.
It's the top five at 5:30.
Two NYPD officers shot during a gun battle in the Bronx. It happened around 8 p.m. in the area of East 187th Street and Beaumont Avenue. That's in the Belmont section. Officers responded to a 911 call about a man with a gun. They arrived on scene. The guy was reportedly sitting on his doorstep and just opened fire. One of the officers was shot twice in the arm. She is going to be okay. The other officer was hit in the underarm, and apparently it exited out of the left side of his chest. Police returned fire, hitting the suspect. Here's Commissioner Dermot Shea.
We expect them to make a recovery. They're in stable condition. They're in good spirits here.
That's fantastic. Commissioner Shea wouldn't ID the suspect, but he did say he's a career criminal with far too many arrests still on the streets of New York City. The shooting, by the way, was captured on body camera video. All right. Guilty. All. The jury in the trial of the three men accused of murdering a black jogger, finding all of the suspects guilty on a slew of charges, including felony murder.
And let the word go forth all over the world. Yes. That a jury of 11 whites and one black in the deep South stood up in the courtroom and said that black lives do matter.
That, of course, is Reverend Al Sharpton, and he's talking about Ahmaud Arbery and that trial. Arbery's father, Marcus, told reporters afterwards that justice has been served.
I wouldn't want to see no daddy watch the kid get lynched and shot down like that.
That's right, Mom.
So it's all our problem. It's all our problem. So, hey, let's keep fighting. Let's keep doing it and making this place a better place for all human beings.
Gunman Travis McMichael, his father Gregory, and their neighbor William Bryan, each now facing the possibility of life in prison. Senator Joe Manchin says President Biden needs to get that Keystone Pipeline going, but the oil squeeze continues to squeeze your wallet, and it doesn't look like that's going to stop anytime soon, at least according to Manchin. The Biden administration announcing Tuesday, as you recall, that it's releasing 50 million barrels of oil out of its reserve supply. Manchin says that's, yeah, a quick fix, but more needs to be done. The Keystone Pipeline, by the way, would have provided our country with up to 900,000 barrels of oil per day from Canada. And who is behind this recent smash and grab robbery spate on the West Coast? Cops there say that they've nabbed at least a few people. San Francisco DA Chesa Boden announcing felony charges for 9 suspects in that Louis Vuitton robbery. That was the one in the city's Union Square neighborhood. Meantime, security experts are putting at least some of the blame on organized crime syndicates. They say the groups pay teens between $500 to $1,000 to rip off luxury items at certain stores. And officials say they expect the spate to get even worse over the holiday season. That's bad news for Best Buy CEO Corey Barry. She says that she is concerned that employees could start quitting their jobs for fear of being attacked. L.A., San Francisco, and Chicago have all experienced a huge jump in these types of crimes. In fact, L.A. just announced that they are going to be putting barriers, spiked barriers, around the Grove, which is that famous shopping area in Hollywood, in downtown Hollywood. California Governor Gavin Newsom, meantime, cracking down, he says, on the retail gangs. We will continue to follow the story for you. And the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is just a couple hours away. Yesterday, vaccinated folks, you had to be vaccinated, they got to check out the annual inflation event near 72nd and Columbus. Balloons, not rising prices. Parade producer Will Koss is so happy to be back.
It's an optimistic moment for us, and we're really excited to bring it to the streets of New York and celebrate with our fellow New Yorkers and everyone across the country.
So this year's parade features quite a lineup, 15 giant character balloons. So, you know, some of the old standbys that you know well, 28 floats, 36 inflatables, 800 clowns, 10 marching bands, 9 performance groups. And you'll see performances from everybody from Kristen Chenoweth and Kelly Rowland to Carrie Underwood. And of course, Santa Claus will be riding his sleigh just for a few hours down from the North Pole to say a quick hello to all the kids. There are some new balloons this year, including Ada Twist Scientist and Baby Yoda from The Mandalorian. I don't know what these are. I don't have any idea.
You've never seen The Mandalorian?
No.
Yeah, but what is Baby Yoda?
It's like Baby
Yoda as a baby.
Oh, how cute. Yeah. What about Ada Twist Scientist?
I don't know that one either.
Okay. Well, if you notice something missing, by the way, this year, kids under 12 aren't going to be able to participate in the parade because of COVID restrictions, and everybody has to wear a mask. All the participants have to wear a mask. And those are your top five at 5:30. We've got lots to get to, but first let's head over to Steve for a look at traffic on the sevens. Hey, Steve.
Bridges and tunnels still looking pretty good this morning. Do have a crash on the turnpike north, north of exit 7, so watch for a brake check there. And we also have a crash on the parkway heading north at 138 in Kenilworth, so traffic is going to be slow there. 78 and 287 are pretty clear. No delays on FDR, the West Side Highway. And, of course, the Thanksgiving Day parade, as you just heard, is taking place at about 9 this morning, but the closure is already in effect. And the big 6th Avenue between 59th and 34th, and 34th between 6th and 7th. I'm Steve Michaels, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you very much, Steve. We'll get back to you in a little bit. Also from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, a quick check on your weather. Today we're going to look at sunny skies with a high of 54, but this morning, guys, if you're heading out to the parade, please bundle up because it's going to be very chilly. We're looking at, well, upper 30s right now. We're 39 in Manhattan, but it will be in the low 40s when you start to make your way out there, especially if you like to get there early. Tonight, we're looking at rain showers. Those will evolve into a steady rain overnight and into tomorrow morning. We'll continue to see that rain, but it'll start clearing up, and we'll see a mix of sun and clouds in the afternoon with a high of 47. That's Friday. On Saturday, lots of sun, but we're going to dip down into the low 40s. And on Sunday, we stay in the low 40s and the clouds roll in. We may have some snow, I'm told, on Sunday night, but it's still a little far away. We're waiting to see if some weather changes and weather patterns shift around. We may get a clipper in, and that would cause maybe some wet rain, or wet snow, rather. Wet rain? Shocking. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. But in the meantime, next week, looking dry and chilly in the low 40s, but sun, at least. Currently, the temperature, as I said, in Manhattan is 39 degrees. And I told you just a moment ago that there is some sad news out of the New York political world. Abe Schumer, the father of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, has passed away. The younger Schumer, making the announcement on social media last night, he called his dad an amazing husband, parent, grandparent, and great-grandparent. Mr. Schumer served the country during World War II, and he took over a small exterminating business when he returned home, according to Senator Schumer. And it's actually extra heartbreaking because the two were supposed to celebrate Thanksgiving today and also celebrate the senator's birthday, which is today out on Long Island. Abe Schumer was 98. Well, it may look like typical old New York when you're walking down the street, especially if you're in the touristy areas. But experts say the city's recovery from the pandemic is really lagging, actually, at least when you compare it to other major U.S. metropolitan cities. Fitch Ratings blames the slow climb back up to the top on the loss of tourism. Basically jobs and leisure and hospitality jobs, and also the income. The effects being seen on the city's transit system, definitely, where ridership last week was down 40% from pre-pandemic levels. That's pretty surprising, actually. On the bright side, though, New York City's jobless rate fell to the lowest it's been since March of 2020. And 5:39 right now, we have an update on the Jeffrey Epstein situation and his final days. We know a little bit more about what was happening in those final hours. The New York Times reporting the pedophile lied to guards. He said that he wanted to call his mom at one point. Problem was that his mother had been dead since 2004. Instead, he reportedly called his 30-year-old girlfriend in Belarus. Katya Shuliak says the two only spoke for 15 minutes and he gave no indication, she says, that anything was off. Just a little over a day later, he was dead, committing suicide in his jail cell. The news comes just days from the start of the trial for his alleged accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell. As we told you at the top of the hour, a jury in the trial of three white men accused of murdering black jogger Ahmaud Arbery were all found guilty yesterday. President Biden speaking out on the decision. In a statement, he said, "We must recommit ourselves to building a future of unity and shared strength where no one fears violence because of the color of their skin." Reverend Al Sharpton, meantime, joined the victim's family on the steps of the courthouse.
"And let the word go forth all over the world." Yes. "That a jury of 11 whites and one black in the deep South stood up in the courtroom and said that black lives do matter."
The three men are facing a minimum of life in prison. And the man to be the last person to speak with alleged Christmas parade killer Daryl Brooks is speaking out. Daniel Ryder is his name. He was actually hanging out at his home there in Wisconsin watching football when he says Brooks began banging on his door, asking if he could borrow Ryder's phone, claiming he was waiting for an Uber. Here is the sound.
Can you call it for me, please? I'm homeless.
Well, it was just 20 minutes before that that Brooks had plowed his red SUV into a crowd in Waukesha, Wisconsin, killing six people, injuring dozens more, many of them critically. The 39-year-old has been charged with multiple counts of intentional homicide and is facing life in prison. Moving on now, the ethics chief under former President Barack Obama issuing a gentle reminder to the current president. Walter Schaub is the former director of the U.S. Office of Government Ethics. He says President Biden will have to pay for his upcoming holiday in Nantucket or claim it as a gift. The president and his family are hunkering down at the home of Carlyle Group co-founder David Rubenstein. Schaub, an equal opportunity critic, scolding former President Trump in the past, as well as Biden's son Hunter and his now infamous art venture. International news now. The ominous telephone conference between Chinese tennis star Peng Shui and the head of the International Olympic Committee last week continues to perplex. Shui disappeared for 3 weeks after posting a message earlier this month on social media claiming that she was sexually assaulted by a former Chinese government official, a very high-ranking government official. She finally reappeared in that teleconference claiming she's just fine and she's resting, but her friends and her colleagues and many activists and around the globe are still convinced that something is just not right with this situation. Many wanting to know more about the man in question. His name is Zhang Zhouli. The 75-year-old is a former vice premier and retired member of the Communist Party, actually the most powerful branch of the Communist Party. And it turns out he was also a major player in China's bid to get the 2022 Olympics. Reuters reporting that the two had at one time been in a consensual, though adulterous, relationship that went sour. And Chinese officials blasting the Biden administration after the White House left Beijing off the invite list for the upcoming Summit for Democracy. This event unites democracies with countries where freedom is being threatened, like places like Poland, the Philippines, and Taiwan, who was invited. China calling America's actions a cover for, quote, oppressing other countries. Excuse me, I just sneezed. Dividing the world and serving its own interests. Russia, by the way, was also scratched off that invite list. And the administration apparently more forgiving when it comes to a certain radical left guerrilla group. According to reports earlier this week, the State Department notified Congress that it was planning to drop the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, guerrilla group from its list of foreign terror organizations. The move, an attempt to show support for a five-year-old peace agreement between the group and the Colombian government. 5:44 WABC News Time. We're going to skip sports because that's what Frank normally does. And if you just tuned in, Frank, about 20 minutes ago, got a text from his wife who is potentially in labor. So he took off and is heading home to Staten Island. And we're just so excited for him. Can't wait to hear what happens. We'll be staying in touch with you throughout the day. I'm sure I will get the go ahead to be able to announce anything if I'm allowed. Meantime, WABC News Time 5:44, jobless claims have fallen sharply from last week. Apparently, those submitting jobless claims, the numbers tumbled to their lowest level in more than 52 years last week. That's according to the Labor Department. New filings totaled 199,000. That is a number that we have not seen since November 15th, 1969, when claims totaled 197,000. The report easily beat Dow Jones' estimates of 260,000 and was well below the previous week's 270,000. Well, speaking of numbers, if you're heading out for some early bird shopping after your bird, be warned. You may not only face crowded stores, you may face empty ones where you will not be able to spend your dollars. Major retailers this year are basically repeating what they did last year during the pandemic, locking their doors this Thanksgiving. Among the giants closed for business, these are places that were always open. Target. So if you head to Target, doors are going to be closed. They say that they're just really liking the fact that they have been driving customers online. They said it was really successful last year and it's continued to be successful. So that's their reason. Walmart, meantime, says they're just going to be shut because it's a thank you to their workers. Best Buy, JCPenney, and Kohl's, among others, they are also pushing their Black Friday buyers online as well. So might be a smart thing to do. You always get great deals online. Jamie Dimon walking back comments that he made during a trip to Boston recently. Apparently, the J.P. Morgan bigwig made a joke that might not go so well over in China. He said the Communist Party is celebrating its 100th year. So is J.P. Morgan. He was referring to the bank's recent celebration of a century of operation in China. And then he continued on, and I'll make a bet we last longer. Dimon, fearing that he was going to offend the Chinese, apologized, saying that he was just trying to emphasize the strength and longevity of his own company. And there's a new book coming out raising questions about what Boeing knew about dangers with its 737 MAX jet. Journalist Peter Rubson investigates what led up to those two crashes, one off the coast of Indonesia, the other in Ethiopia, killing more than 300 people total. He claims the company had warnings and they knew the plane itself was problematic, but yet they did nothing. Flying Blind hits bookshelves on Tuesday, on November 30th. All right, out to California now. We told you earlier how security officials are blaming the recent spate of gang looting on organized crime. These groups, usually teens, according to security officials, are paid big money basically to go on these smash and grab sprees, while others are now speaking out on the topic as well. Lorenzo Boyd is a professor of criminal justice at the University of New Haven, and he thinks that we should ban looting altogether. And he's not talking about the act. He's talking about the word.
Because looting is a term that we typically use when people of color or urban dwellers are doing something. We tend not to use that term for other people when they do the exact same thing.
Those comments raising the ire of folks on social media who say it's the woke media's attempt at shifting blame away from those who deserve it. WABC News Time 547. Let's head over to traffic on the 7s with Steve Michaels.
Thanks very much, Juliet. Got a crash on the BQE South, right around the Grand Central Parkway. So that is causing a little bit of a delay. It's actually on the ramp from the BQE to the Grand Central. So it's pretty heavy out there as well. Traffic at the bridges and tunnels looking good in New Jersey. Accident on the Parkway heading north in Kenilworth. That is out of the way. And the Thanksgiving Day parade has got Columbus Circle closed off between 59th and Broadway. And then, of course, 6th Avenue is closed from 59th down to 34th, and 34th Street closed between 6th and 7th Avenue. I'm Steve Michaels, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Steve. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it's going to be chilly this morning if you're heading out to the parade, so bundle up. Today we'll get up to a high of about 54 degrees, and we'll have a mix of sun and clouds. Tonight, expect some rain showers early. Those will turn a bit more steady overnight. And as we head into Friday morning, you should probably also expect a little bit of light rain early on, and then that will clear away. We'll just have a mix of sun and clouds later in the afternoon with a high of 47. On Saturday, we're looking at sunny skies, lots of sun, with a high of 42. Sunday, we're dipping down just a bit to 43, actually going up a one degree to 43. We'll have cloudy skies. And I got to tell you, I'm starting to look, things are starting to coagulate here in the weather center. Looks like we may have a little bit of wet snow on Sunday night, but that could change. Right now, it looks like overcast with rain showers Sunday night. That could turn into a little wet snow. We'll keep you updated on that. In the meantime, the temperature right now in Manhattan is 39 degrees. WABC News Time is 5:49. There's a new famous word. It's the word of the year, according to the Collins Dictionary. They announced this yesterday. The word is NFT. These are digital assets that exploded in popularity this year, along with the rise of cryptocurrencies. It stands for non-fungible token. So it's really an acronym. I don't know. But anyway, it's seen a meteoric rise in usage this year. It's been essentially up 11,000% from last year, according to Collins. The dictionary announced that it landed on the word NFT for the annual honors because it reflects the convergence of money and the internet that really has come to define this year for many. They're questioning whether it's going to have a lasting influence. They say that's to be determined, but they say its sudden presence in conversations all around the world makes it very clearly their word of the year. Collins Dictionary defines the word NFT as a unique digital certificate registered in a blockchain that is used to record ownership of an asset such as an artwork or a collectible. WABC News Time 550. Oops. Organizers of the Women's March apologizing after sending out a donation request to supporters, problem wasn't the ask. It wasn't even the amount, really. Well, it kind of was the amount. The amount was $14.92 they were asking for, which is, of course, the year Columbus landed in the Americas. This is considered a gaffe to the women's organization. It's not going over well with some of the ladies, prompting the group to issue a statement saying, quote, it was an oversight on our part to not make the connection to a year of colonization, conquest, and genocide for indigenous people, especially before Thanksgiving. It also prompted former Bush press secretary Ari Fleischer to tweet, let's all chip in and raise the amount to $17.76. Then they'll really lose their minds. That's pretty good. All right. As we get ready to put Thanksgiving 2021 in the books later today, a little holiday data for you. Wednesday was the biggest travel day since the coronavirus hit our shores here in the United States. The Transportation Security Administration expects 20 million people to pass through security checkpoints through Sunday. Between this past Friday and this past Tuesday, TSA says that they screened more than 10 million passengers, predicting 53.4 million people will be traveling for Thanksgiving this year. That is up from 13% from last year. And apparently they're going to be driving and they're going to be spending a lot of money for driving because they're going to have to pay for gas, which is pricey these days, as we know. Also, they're going to be blowing a lot of money on car rentals. Experts say you can expect to pay up to 75% more on a car rental if you can actually get one. I know we brought you this information yesterday, but I can't stress this enough. It's definitely something to be aware of. Something to be aware of. Fake news. There were reports circulating yesterday through the conservative blogosphere and social media that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is about to buy a $25 million mansion down there in Jupiter Island, Florida. Well, apparently it is fake news. The mansion that was in question is at 429 South Beach Road. I lived right next door. This is in a very, very exclusive area of Florida on the East Coast. It's north of Palm Beach. It's home to Tiger Woods, Celine Dion, country music star Alan Jackson. But according to Rob Thompson, not the singer, but the owner of Waterfront Properties, there is zero association between the seller of the home, the buyer of the home, and Nancy Pelosi. So fake news. And if you're in your 50s, and you're starting to feel a little low these days, it could be that you're spending too much time on TikTok. There's a Harvard study that just came out. It found middle-aged folks who use the social media app, along with Snapchat and Instagram, are, quote, substantially more likely to get depressed than those who don't. So a little Thanksgiving word of advice, stop going on social media apps that are made for teenagers, I guess. WABC News time is 5:54. We have Curtis Sliwa coming in shortly to tell us about what's happening on the Bernie and Sid show today. He is filling in. And we have traffic and your final weather forecast coming up. But in the meantime, I wanted to get just to some folks who are just tuning in right now. If you are wondering where Frank is, because he had been here on the other side of midnight overnight and he had been talking about co-hosting with me today. About half an hour ago, he got a text from his wife, Rachel, saying that she thinks her water broke. So he scampered off to his car and is busting a move home to Staten Island to take his wife to the hospital. And we wish them all the best and we love them. And I'm so excited and I can't wait to meet baby Juliet. It's going to be wonderful. All right. Juliet or Julian, I've decided.
Oh, you've decided?
I've decided, yeah.
Okay.
Frank doesn't, he doesn't know that I've decided, nor does Rachel, but. but anyway, let's get to some of the other big stories making news before we hear from Curtis. There's a new Marist poll out, and basically Biden is to blame for everything. Americans are worried about inflation, and they are definitely blaming the president for that. That's the message from this poll, echoing most other recent surveys that have come out in the last couple of weeks. The president's approval rating in this one is down to 42%. That is the lowest on this poll since he took office. The number one concern among voters, yes, inflation. That comes in at 39%. That's followed by wages, labor shortages, housing, unemployment, and gas prices. And just a day after a man plowed through a group of holiday revelers, killing six people and injuring dozens more out there in Wisconsin, the White House is reaffirming the president's call to end cash bail. It's kind of a strange time to do it. Daryl Brooks, as you know, was out on $1,000 bail, which was, even according to the local DA there in Wisconsin, exorbitantly low for basically tried to run over his ex-girlfriend a couple weeks ago. And then he floored his SUV through the Waukesha, Wisconsin holiday parade this past Sunday. The news renewed calls to take another look at bail reform. But still, the Daily Mail reporting Wednesday that a White House official defended Biden's end cash bail policy push, saying, quote, whether you get bail should be based on the threat you pose and not how much money you have in your bank account. Meantime, President Biden's choice for the nation's top bank watchdog may be in jeopardy. Five Democratic senators say that they are not fans of Saleh Omarova's aggressive approach, that's what they call it, when it comes to regulating the banking sector. Senate Banking Committee members John Tester, Mark Warner, and Kyrsten Sinema, along with Democratic Senators John Hickenlooper and Mark Kelly, all reportedly declaring their opposition to Omarova's appointment to the Office of Comptroller of the Currency. A White House official, though, telling Axios the president is still behind her. And there's a new poll out, and it looks good for Biden, at least for his transportation secretary. Pete Buttigieg says he is not considering a future White House run, but the polls suggest he may want to think about it. The latest Politico Morning Consult survey has him 6 points higher than Biden when it comes to favorability and 12 points higher than Kamala Harris. The 39-year-old also has the highest favorability and name recognition among the current cabinet. The news coming amid rumors of a rift between the president and vice president. But by the way, there is some good news for the president this morning. We told you a little earlier that he had had a polyp removed from his colon that came back non-benign. So he's going to be okay. It was precancerous, according to the doctor, but it is benign. 5:57, let's head over to traffic on the 7s with Joe Nolan. Hi, Joe. I mean, not Joe. Excuse me. Sorry.
No,
Steve Michaels.
Okay. No problem.
Steve Michaels,
just
Joe
don't
Nolan.
Call me late for dinner.
All right. What's up with the traffic today?
All right, traffic looking good this morning at the bridges and tunnels. Do have a problem in northern New Jersey, Route 21 South, coming up to Route 3. It's a flipped-over vehicle, and over in Queens, look for delays on the Grand Central West. Coming up to BQE, we have an accident there, so traffic is kind of clogged up. This report is sponsored by Empire Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross and Blue Shield and Heart of America, helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more at empireblue.com/NYLiberty. Empire Blue Cross and Blue Shield is a trade name of Empire Health Choice, HMO Incorporated, and Empire Health Choice Assurance Incorporated. And now Juliet has the weather.
Thank you very much, Steve. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a wonderful day. And from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, a final weathercast for you from me today. We're looking at sunshine and clouds later on mixed. I'm just staring at my phone trying to see if Frank has messaged me yet, because we'll tell you about that in a second. Let me finish the traffic, the weather. But we'll have sunshine and clouds today, high of 54. We will have some rain showers tonight. If you're going out to the parade later this morning, it's going to be very chilly in the morning. It'll warm up a little bit later on, but definitely bundle up. We may have some light rain early tomorrow morning, a mix of sun and clouds in the afternoon. And the rest of the weekend's looking okay. Saturday, sunny and 42. Sunday, 43 and cloudy, but we may have some wet snow coming in on Sunday night. We'll keep you abreast of that. In the meantime, if you're just tuning in, Curtis Sliwa is going to be filling in for Bernie and Sid on their show in just a moment. Frank is, he just texted me, you rock. Love you. We love you back, Frank. We love Rachel. We're so excited. Please let me know what's going on. And I just can't wait to hear about little Juliet. Or Julian. I hope everybody here that listening has a wonderful holiday, a great weekend. And what are you guys up to? Celebrating turkey?
We're here.
You're here?
We're eating some turkey.
Well, yeah,
it's
thank
here.
You to John DeMargo Casamatidis, because there is quite the
UABC 77 second news update.
Good morning. I'm Deborah Valentine. Two NYPD officers are expected to survive after both were shot last night in the Bronx. Police say the suspect, shot by officers, is a career criminal with a stolen gun.
We have to correct the political mistakes that were made in the past so we stop losing police officers and we stop spending the holidays praying for their recovery.
The suspect underwent surgery and is expected to recover. An NYPD officer was seriously hurt after being dragged by a vehicle believed stolen in Brooklyn at East 83rd Street in Canarsie about 6:30 last night. Suspects fled. A woman was killed after a fire tore through her Patchogue apartment last night. Her name not yet released. The fire is not believed to be suspicious. A heightened police presence for today's big Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. Mayor de Blasio.
There are no specific incredible threats against this parade and against New York City.
In-person viewing is allowed this year with the parade starting at 9 a.m. That's your 77-second WABC News update. I'm Deborah Valentine. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Partly sunny today, our highs 53. Traffic and transit is next, where the news never stops at WABCRadio.com.